pay program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And for this very important and very special edition of Superhuman Radio, I'm in the studio with the lovely, talented, and green thumb bearing co-host, Elisa Profumo. How are you doing, Elisa?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Great, great. Okay, so this is a really important show. The name of this show is Urban Farming, Gardening Like Your Life Depends on It, Because It May. You know, we talk about access to healthy, life-giving foods. We talk about how Monsanto and other companies are poisoning our food chain with these mutant forms of produce. What is a person to do? It may come down to someday that if you don't have your own little farm, and I don't care how small of a property you live in, you may live in an apartment, but if you don't have an urban farm, you're not going to have access to produce and vegetables and fruits and spices that do not make you sick. And we have two people we're talking today. Our guest during the first hour, Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
Hey, very well, Carl. How you doing?
Little known fact about Brooks, he has one of the largest, if not the largest, privately owned urban farms, I like to call it, in Louisville, Kentucky. Isn't that right?
Urban gardens, yes.
I like to call it an urban farm. I'm trying to sensationalize the piece. So.
Well, we actually had chickens on it for a while, so it really was a farm.
Okay. Well, there you go. And then, of course, my co-host, Elisa Profumo, who has a backyard that looks like nature's wonderland that attracts everything from rare butterflies and birds to critters and deer because of her well-manicured garden and vegetables that she grows and fruits that she grows and all sorts of exotic stuff that I've never even heard of that she grows. So anyway, so we have her on the show, too, because she has a lot to contribute as well. First of all, Brooks, how did you even start gardening?
Well, a couple of things happened all at once. One of them was Trudy, my wife, went to a conference in Hippie Land, Ohio, a.k.a. Antioch, Ohio, where Yellow Springs University is. And she was at a conference on sustainable issues, sustainable food, lifestyle, and so on, et cetera. And she brought back a book called Eating, E-A-T-I-N-G, Eating Fossil Fuels. And one day I was bored and I had nothing better to do, so I picked it up and I started reading. And it was the most eye-opening thing I'd ever done. I suddenly realized from reading the book that our entire agricultural system is based on petroleum products. And by that, I mean that corporate agriculture in the United States, much of which is based in California, to feed the entire country, it is all based on massive inputs of petroleum in the form of gasoline fuel, diesel fuel, fertilizers, related products are actually petroleum-based. The refrigeration, the energy, everything used to grow, to harvest, to refrigerate, to store, to ship, it is all petroleum-based. And if there were ever an interruption to the supply of oil in the United States...
Yeah, hello! It's happening!
Bingo! Our fuel system, our food system, shuts down. And at the time that I was reading that, and then I was also reading about the bad aspects of that type of agriculture, it's not very good food, it's not very healthy. The United States Department of Agriculture has run tests, and vegetables have lost 25, 30, 35% of all of the important nutrients just in the period of, say, the last 20 years. And there have been a number of studies on that. You know, there's 20% less calcium, 30% less of, you know, this mineral or that mineral. The vitamin content is reduced. Food is higher in carbohydrates, but lower in nutrition, which is not a good thing. So I read that. At the same time, one of the children went off and decided to start a family, and so all of a sudden we have grandchildren. So we have little people growing up, and we start to think about issues like, what are they eating? What do they want to eat? What would be a great diet for the little people? And when we looked at the stores, we didn't find a very good answer to that. And the third thing that happened, you all will remember, those of you from Louisville will remember that we had a period a couple years ago where we had some terrific storms. There was an ice storm in the winter, and there was a freak windstorm in September one year. And a lot of people were without power.
Yeah.
And as a result of both of those incidents, I had two periods in about 18 months where we had power outages of 2 to 3 weeks. Because where we live, we have a lot of trees. When the wind storms come in or the ice storms come in, the trees, the branches break, the power lines go down, and we happen to be the last on the list to be fixed. So that convinced me very quickly that there actually was a lot of risk in the food supply and the food delivery system, the food chain, if you will. And I thought maybe I ought to start doing something about that. And one of those options was to go out and get a lot of cans of beans and a lot of, a lot of noodles and spaghetti and macaroni and things like that. And you stock up that way, which is one way of doing it, but those are not my favorite foods by any means. And another way, and a long-term way, is to start growing your own food. When Trudy was at the conference in Antioch, she came back with a very interesting DVD. There was an entire country that just went through this and had to start 100% organic, backyard, grow anywhere you could grow, container gardening, everything. They had to do it all from scratch, literally overnight.
Why? And, why did this country have to do this?
Well, can you guess the name of the country?
I'm thinking... Well, I can't guess the name of the country.
Okay, putting me on the spot. It was Cuba.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God, sure. They're cut off from every place, right. Exactly.
Yeah, and what happened when the Soviet Union fell, Cuba lost the only country that would import agricultural equipment, petroleum products, and so on to it. No one else would do it. The United States, of course, wouldn't do that. We were in a no business with Cuba mode. So overnight, the entire food supply shut down. And the people in Cuba had to immediately start basically an intensive backyard, top of the roof, up and down the sidewalk, anywhere they could do it, gardening program. And it was really difficult at first. And one of the reasons it was difficult is they had very bad soil. They'd not done anything to improve the soil. And they didn't have fertilizers, and it took a couple of years before they were really able, through composting and other methods that we'll talk about later, it was really difficult for them to get the soil up to the point where it would really develop good food. And they were living in a climate that, you know, it's much easier to grow food in Cuba than it is, say, in the northern parts of the United States or the
right.
prairies or the deserts.
Right.
So they had a leg up, and yet they had a very difficult time. The average weight loss for Cubans during that period was a drop of about 20 pounds across the board. And that
wow.
was some people who needed to lose weight and some who didn't. Very, very difficult time, but they came through it, and they now have this incredible system of organic gardens all across Cuba.
And see, this, I'm such a big proponent of decentralization. Every day we see the pitfalls of centralization. You know, Elisa, what's the name of the email marketing company that just got hit, and everybody from U.S. banks' email addresses to like Walmart's email
address. Target. Yeah. It was Epsilon.
Epsilon.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about centralization. This one company services all these big, well, somebody hacked this one company and now they have everybody's email addresses that does business with anybody from Walmart to U.S. bank. You look at the centralization of food and how it poisons so many people. You look at centralization. It's time for decentralization. There is no more profound approach to decentralization than having your own garden.
Absolutely.
Brooks, we have to take a commercial break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to start talking about the business of gardening, what people need to do. So there's no excuses. Everyone, would you agree with the statement? Anyone can have a garden. I don't care where they live.
Completely agree.
Okay, so we're going to address that. And I want people to really start thinking about gardening seriously. I don't care if it's a little pot plant that you have. And I don't mean marijuana. I mean a plant in a small pot. And we're going to be talking about ways to do this. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I got a cute face, chubby waist, thick legs in shape, rump shaking both ways.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com today. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, who is normally talking about building muscle and strength, is really indirectly talking about building muscle and strength as well, still, but without using weights, without using weights, iron, but instead using nature Access to healthy foods builds strength. Brooks Kubik. Okay, so Brooks, let's talk about the fundamentals of gardening, first of all. You've got to pick a spot to garden. If you have a backyard or you don't have a backyard, you seem to like to use boxes, huh?
Yes.
Why?
Well, living here in Kentucky, we have a lot of clay in the soil, clay in the ground, and it's difficult to work with the soil that's in our yard. In addition, I live on a hill, and if I just tried to do a regular garden on a sloping surface, it would be much more difficult. So what I did, there's a book called Square Foot Gardening, and it's simply about creating garden boxes out of boards, 2x8 boards, 4 foot long. You create a 4 foot square box. You fill it with dirt, and I'm going to explain in a minute what I mean by dirt because it's not what you're thinking. You fill it and you plant inside that box. We tried that. That's how we started. We liked the results, and so we did some more of those little 4-foot by 4-foot boxes.
Now I have to imagine you're just building walls. The bottom is still going to be earth.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. The bottom is earth. You build walls, and that's your box, and you start growing. It's very quick, very easy method of doing it. The book Square Foot Gardening gives you all the information in the world, and there's square foot gardening sites all over the internet. We upscaled from that, and we now have boxes that are 20 feet long, 4 foot wide. We've got four of those. We've got a number of smaller boxes, which are 10 foot long, 4 foot wide. We've just gone crazy because we've had so much fun doing this, and, we're starting to grow not just for ourselves, but for the children and the grandchildren, and, we're trying to involve neighbors as well and make it a real neighborhood or, sort of a community project.
I have to ask you something about the wood that maybe most people won't think about. Are you using treated outdoor wood? Because that's usually treated with arsenic.
This is untreated wood.
Good, okay.
Untreated. Now, you can use cedar if you want. Cedar will last a long time, or you can use untreated wood. Yes, it will rot over time, but you know what?
Who cares?
You just replace it. It's not a big deal.
Right.
You can do the same thing with straw bales if you want. That works well, but it's a bit unsightly.
Yeah.
And so,
and
you know,
bulky.
We went, yeah, and bulky. So we went the wooden route. Now, once you have your bed down, of course, you do enough work with the ground. You either lay something on the grass to kill the grass, and actually, newspapers will do that, or you dig up the grass, you turn it over, because you want you don't want to be growing grass.
Right, you turn the soil, and that's what my grandfather used to do. You just turn the soil, and anything that's been growing is underneath the earth now. It dies, it gets absorbed. That's it.
Yeah, and that's a very easy way to do. You know, it takes 10, 20 minutes to do that for a 4-foot by 4-foot box, and then you're off and running. Now, I said that you fill the box with dirt. And I said I'm going to explain what dirt is. Unless you live somewhere where you actually have good, rich soil, the best way to get a running start on your gardening is to actually put in created soil. And created soil, there's different ways to do it, but one of the easiest is you use a mixture of peat moss, something called vermiculite, which is a small, very small pebbles, almost like gravel. And it's a stone that actually will absorb and hold moisture. And so that helps to keep things from drying out. The peat moss keeps everything from becoming a hard lump or cake. It kind of gives sort of a spongy effect, if you will, and you mix that in with organic compost. And you can buy organic compost at any gardening store. There's different kinds. There's mushroom-based compost. There's composts made from manure and other products. One thing I'll caution against, you do not want municipal waste compost. A lot of municipalities compost their waste, and they sell it to gardeners.
Are we talking about municipal waste compost, Are we talking about the stuff that comes out of people that originates from people's toilets?
Yeah, that goes through the sewer system.
I don't want that stuff on my vegetables. Forget that.
That's the best part. That wouldn't be bad if it were composted. The worst part of it is you end up with, you know, the plastics and the chemicals and all the other garbage in the sewer system.
Gotcha.
Paint chips, you know, things like that, lead, you don't want that.
No.
So forget that. You want, you know, organic compost. You can buy it in 40, 50-pound bags. You mix the compost, you mix the vermiculite, you mix the peat moss.
In any ratios?
Yeah, the ratio, it varies a little bit depending on where you live, how hot it is, how much watering you're prepared to do, how much rain there's going to be, and what you're going to grow. But a good ratio would be about 60% compost, 30% peat moss, 10% vermiculite. You mix by volume, and you don't have to be exact.
Okay.
And sometimes you can even get mixtures of peat moss and vermiculite, and if you can't find the vermiculite, just use peat moss. That works just as well. But the point is,
just ballpark.
Go ahead.
If I built a 4x4 box in my backyard, let's say I have a small backyard, how much am I spending on this combination of manufactured dirt?
Oh, $50 to $100, depending.
Okay.
You know what you buy, whether you buy bulk or not. If you buy larger bags or amounts of stuff, the price goes down enormously.
Okay, good deal. All right, so now we got our dirt. We put it in the box. We mix it together using spades and stuff like that. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, is there any other preparation before I can start planting?
Water it. Make sure it's nice and wet. Let it sit a day or two. Water it again. If it's cold outside and you want the soil to be nice and warm, you cover it with black plastic to absorb the sun's rays.
Right.
Stay nice and warm.
So just like tear up a couple of garbage bags, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That's all you need.
Right.
And then you're ready to go. If you want, if it's nice and warm, you just mix it up, put it in, and plant that very same day.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Now, the other interesting thing, and you'd mentioned doing this in a small space or container gardening. If all you have is a porch, if all you have is the top of a roof, just a little bit of space, you do container gardening. And then instead of building your square foot garden, what you do is you use a bushel basket or any kind of small container to grow, you know, anything you want that is going to fit in those containers. For example,
when you say bushel basket, you mean like go to the local produce store and get those wooden square boxes that they may have shipped produce in with, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that would work, or a round bushel basket. Hmm. You know, there's all kinds of containers.
So
for
any
growing
so
that
any container. Any so what? How big can the container be? Good, Alisa, you have
even a clay pot would work, right?
Exactly.
So
yes.
So we're talking about pot plants now. We're potted plants rather.
Yes.
Potted. Stop saying pot.
I know.
You're gonna
I'm
get
sorry.
Us in trouble.
I'm a child of the 70s. I'm sorry. Anyway, so any potting type apparatus, anything that like you said, I mean any square box, round tube, anything you could put it in.
Wow. You could use an old coffee can.
Yeah, you know what? My grandfather used to start some of his plants, and I can see them now in his backyard in a chock full of nuts, black and orange can that he would start things in and then move them to the garden.
Yeah, and a related point, I want to share this because this is a very interesting health tip, gardening-wise. There is a lot more nutrition in a smaller plant than in a larger plant.
Why is that?
Well, modern industrial foods are pumped up so that they have a high carbohydrate content and a low vitamin mineral nutrition content. Because what the stores want is they want something that's big. Because people go and they always pick out the biggest apple or tomato or, you know, whatever. But they always go for something that looks big because they think bigger is better. It's not, because if you think about it, the small vegetable concentrates all the nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And along those lines, instead of growing a full head of lettuce, I mean, you can grow a full head of lettuce if you want, but there's actually more nutrition in the small lettuce leaves as they are growing. And so all you do is, as you're growing them, you walk out with a pair of scissors, you cut them. It's called cut and come back, or cut and return. You snip them off, you cut them, you eat them. A couple days later, you come back, they've regrown, you snip them off again. You never grow a full plant. You just keep working with the smaller.
I like that.
With the smaller leaves. There's more nutrition, and you don't need a lot of space because you're not growing these big, huge plants. You're doing the cut and come again system. Now, you can take that to you can take that as far as possible very easily. And the way that you do it is something called microgreens. Carl, have you seen those little flat trays at garden supply stores, the little plastic trays? They're just an inch high?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. People use them to start seeds. They're
right.
Used for starter plants. Okay. Fill those with dirt. Put your seeds in very, very heavily. Okay? And so now you've got something that...
When you say heavily, you mean more density, a lot of seeds.
Yes. Plant
okay.
lots of seeds
right.
in this little flat. Is what they call them.
Right.
Okay. Cover it up, put it somewhere where it'll get a lot of sunlight. If you don't have sunlight, you can do this inside with grow lamps. Anyhow, what you do is you let the seeds germinate. They start coming up and they're forming greens. They look like bean sprouts.
Right.
Okay. Same sort of thing. Come up, you've just got all these little leaves. They're very, very tiny things. You know, one of the leaves, you know, they look like parsley leaves or something. They're just really small, okay?
Right.
Take your scissors, cut the whole thing, makes a great big salad. And interestingly, studies have shown that in that 1 ounce of broccoli, for example, if you do it that way, 1 ounce of broccoli from microgreens has the cancer-fighting nutrition, some of the phytonutrients, as 1.5 cups of full-grown broccoli.
So basically what we're talking about here is the veal, if you will, of plant world. We're saying to go ahead and harvest them while they're still young, before they grow into the mature plant, which is the target of the project. You say, no, don't wait for it to grow into a full stalk of broccoli. Eat it while it's still in the early growth phases, and it's just a sprout.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to do it. And for anyone who wants to do that, there's a book called Microgreens. Microgreens, one word, that is just a wonderful book and talks all about that. And you can do that in these little flats. All you need is a table to put the flats on.
You know what? We have to take a break, but I want to speak to what you just said. There's
okay.
a lot of evidence that the milk given from grass-fed cows that are eating fast-growing early grass
mm-hmm.
is more nutritious than the cows that eat from the longer, more well-grown fields. And this tends to lend itself to this, what you're saying, that there's a greater density of nutrients. Because and it stands to reason, the root system has access to, let's say, all of the nutrients in, let's say, a 6-square-inch area around it. And it packs all that into the plant right away and then slowly disperses it upstream as the plant grows. So it makes sense that you have a greater concentration when the plant is young. It makes perfect sense entirely. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up. This is very interesting stuff. I can't wait to start gardening this year. And this is a way to kind of shoot back at what's going on in this country. We need to have our own gardens. We need to help decentralize the food supply, and each of us has a responsibility in doing this. I don't care if you have a little plant in your windowsill in your apartment. We all have to do it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. From
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget, opresource.net gives my listeners an additional 25% off their already low, low prices when you use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25. SUPERHUMAN, the number 2, the number 5. Go to opresource.net for all your peptide needs. We've got Brooks Kubik on. This is an amazing show. I get excited about shows once in a while. I'm really excited about the information coming out of this show because we all need to have the power to supply ourselves with the things we need, and food is very, very important. And this type of information can actually empower people. And I'm really, really happy to be doing this show. It's a little bit off the center of what we normally talk about here, but hey, it's all about nutrition in the end. Okay.
Off the center is good.
Yeah, off the center is good, actually. Okay, so we understand now a couple new technologies, microgreens. I love this. I'm going to start eating sprouted foods, sprouted vegetables, and so on in the near future. Okay, so I've got my my little box, my little container set up. I've got my dirt in it. I want to start planting. Do I start planting whenever I want, or do I have to wait for seasons? Is there time to start planting?
There are times to plant, and they vary from vegetable to vegetable. There are some vegetables that you plant early in spring, some later in spring, some in the summer, some in the fall. There are some that you can plant in the fall and you can keep them growing all winter long. And it varies depending on where you are. So there are planting guides, planting charts, if you will, for any part of the United States. And if you just get on the internet, I mean, I'm assuming that everyone who's listening to this has access to the internet. You get on the internet and you do local planting zones, local planting times, local planting seasons for your locality. You know, like I would plug in Indiana, Kentucky, and I would get all kinds of websites with charts about what you can do when. The other thing that you can do so that you have an idea of what to grow when is to look at your seed packages. Seed package-wise, I'm going to give a plug to a company that I buy seeds from. It's called Johnny's Seeds. You can get it online. At the very least, even if you never buy seeds from them, order their catalog, because their catalog is basically the Bible of gardening.
Really?
Yeah. And what it does with it, you know, with all of the seeds and with a good seed company catalog, they tell you when you can start planting. And there's a lot of things where they say, start planting as soon as you can work the soil. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we're past winter, we're past the danger of frost, and the soil is such that you can put your hand in, you can pick it up, crumble it, it's nice.
It's not frozen. Right.
Yeah, it's not in big solid clumps or chunks. And just think about it. If you're a little seed and, you know, you're put in a vegetable garden, you know, your job is to start growing, which means you grow down. You put out a root, and it has to go down and work through the soil, you know, and it's really quite a job. And so you want to make it easy. So you want soil that is workable, okay? And your seed packets will tell you, you know, start planting when the soil is workable, and so you need to know what does that mean. For a lot of places in the United States, you can start planting crops now through Memorial Day is sort of your when you start planting time. There are some things that you don't plant now, like tomatoes or peppers, because it's not warm enough. So you hold off on those. But you can start planting lettuce, salad greens, mesclun mix, carrots, potatoes in Indiana, Kentucky. It's time for them now. Bush beans, pole beans, peas, spinach, broccoli, herbs, which we'll talk about later on, parsley, mustard, collard greens, kale. You know, kale's important.
Yeah, it's a very. I love kale. I love bitter greens personally.
Yeah, well, kale's very healthy. It's, you know, it's got a lot of cancer-fighting elements. But dinosaur kale, of course, is, you know, preferred by dinosaurs everywhere.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. You know, and then there are other things that you're going to plant later when it's a bit warmer, and that would be your tomatoes, your peppers, and your cucumbers.
Have you ever seen people growing tomatoes upside down, tomato plants, where you take a gallon jug,
mm-hmm.
you cut the base off of it, you turn it upside down, you fill it with dirt, so the spout that you normally drink out of or pour from is facing down, and you plant the tomato plant in the bottom of it, so it's growing through that spout. And the idea is that gravity forces the fluids down and makes the tomatoes bigger and more plump. Have you ever seen that?
I have never seen it or done it, but I've talked to people who have had really good results with it, and some people swear by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It makes sense because I know a guy who grows. He lives in St. Matthews, actually. He grows mm-hmm. prized tomatoes.
Yeah.
And he gets up every day and three or four times a day with a syringe injects into the stem of the tomato. First of all, he has the tomatoes on their own little tarpons where they kind of they're suspended so the weight of the tomato won't pull it off the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually injects fluid into the stem, into the tomato three or four times a day, and they get huge. He has tomatoes that look like pumpkins.
That's a pretty good way of doing it. Now, you know, that kind of brings us to another topic, which is interesting for this particular audience, and that is, you know, most people most people who are into health and fitness and weight training and bodybuilding and strength training and so on, you know, are taking supplements.
Right.
Okay. They're feeding the muscle tissue, feeding the energy systems of the body, and then they're trying to optimize the nutrition that they're putting in their bodies. And even if they're not taking supplements, they're certainly trying to do that with the food that they eat. Well, the interesting thing about gardening is that you do the very same thing with your vegetables.
You supplement them.
You supplement them.
With
yeah,
something called with something called fertilizer, right?
Well, no, because fertilizer, I don't use the term fertilizer, because fertilizer usually means a petroleum-based chemical,
okay,
non-organic product. What I do is use 100% organic supplements, if you will, to make my soil richer and more nutrient-dense, and in turn, to grow vegetables that have more nutrition in them because they absorb the nutrition from the soil.
Right.
So, for example, I'll throw one out. Vince Gironda used to always tell bodybuilders, take your kelp tablets.
Right.
Right? Well, I've got about 10 pounds left of a 50-pound bag of kelp, powdered kelp, that I bought last fall. And I take that and I sprinkle it. It's like sort of like green sand. I sprinkle that powdered kelp on my garden beds.
Mm. And so basically you're infusing whatever you grow with the qualities of the kelp.
Exactly. And you can do this with, it gets to be lots of fun. You can do it with kelp, seaweed, crushed shells, crab shells.
My grandfather used to take all of the eggshells every day,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
he'd crumble them up and throw them at the base of his tomato plants and his sweet basil plants.
Yeah.
He would also take rusty nails. He would look at a plant, and he would take a nail and stick the nail into the base where the root was.
Yeah.
I have to assume that it was for iron, because they were rusty nails that he would always use. He always had nails that he would use these for. The other thing would be, at the beginning of each season, when he would turn his soil, after he turned his soil, he would, mm-hmm, go to the local fish market, and he'd buy all the fish entrails and scales and bones. And I remember him bringing big burlap bags of this stuff home and turning it into the dirt. And it stunk for days, but then the smell would go away.
Mm-hmm. That's how the American Indians would do gardening. They would do mounds. They had what they called the three sisters, corn, squash, and bean, that they would grow together in a little mound. And inside the mound, they would put an old bony fish, something that wasn't very good to eat, but it would serve to fertilize that mound and grow the vegetables.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
What else can you use besides kelp and seaweed to infuse into your, what have you experimented with to infuse those properties into your vegetables?
Well, you use composted manure, which is high in nitrogen and other nutrients. That's one thing that a lot of people will do. You can take a fish emulsion, which you can actually spray on your vegetables early in the morning. You spray on the leaves, you mix it up with water, and it's like a fish glue in water that you spray on the vegetables, and they absorb the nutrition right from the leaves.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
And this is something you bought. I'm sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
I was just going to ask,
mm-hmm,
Brooks,
yeah,
if people are doing this, like, say, on a deck with potted plants, they can do this as well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, when you say this fish emulsion, is this something you buy, or you have to make this fish emulsion from scratch?
Well, you can make it if you want to, but it will stink to high heaven.
Okay.
Remember, it's like fish glue. You can buy it.
Okay.
Again, this reminds me of the liquid protein supplements that were big when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of a gelatinous glue that stinks, but it has a lot of nutrition in it.
I wonder if you could take other things that have medicinal purposes and have flavors to them. Like, let's say I have a kilo of ginger, mm-hmm, extract. Let's say I were to grow a plant that I think ginger would be a complementary, or vegetable that complements, mm-hmm, ginger. If I started sprinkling ginger into it, if it would pick up the gingerols and bring it into the root system and bring it into the plant?
I don't know. That would be an interesting thing to try. You know, you'd have to find the complementary plants. The other thing that you do is you compost. And compost, you know, compost has sort of like a, you know, a 1960s hippie connotation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do not eat a lot of processed foods. In fact, very, very little. Most of our cooking is, you know, we take it and we're prepared ourselves. And what that does is that generates a lot of kitchen scraps.
Right.
And particularly, we eat a lot of vegetables, and so we have a lot of green vegetables that, you know, we're going to throw away or use in some fashion. And the way we use those is we add those to our compost bin. We have two compost bins right off the deck. They're made out of wood with chicken wire to keep the critters out in case the smell were to attract any rodents. And we put the scraps out. We mix them with ground up eggshells, coffee grounds. Coffee grounds are actually very good for compost. You mix it. You mix it with dry leaves. You can put in grass clippings.
Right.
You know, anything you want. Anything that I pull out of the garden goes into the compost heap, and it just kind of over a period of time, it actually turns into a very rich humus or very nutrient dense soil. And then I don't have to go out and buy my own compost. And just to give you an idea, with two of us living in the house, Brooks and Trudy, I can generate, I can make about 1,000 pounds of compost in a year very easily.
Wow.
Just by adding a little bit every day. And it's really high quality nutrition. I mean, I know from my beds that if I go out and I get bags of high-quality organic compost, and I put them in a garden bed, and then I match that up against compost that I make myself, what I make myself ends up being better. And one of the things that I do, and again, this is funny because it's so similar to what we do as fitness fanatics. Everybody's familiar with the blender bomber drink where, you know, you have milk and protein powder and, you know, you just keep adding all kinds of stuff into this big health drink.
Right.
Or you can use fruit juice or whatever. Okay. What we do is we take cut up vegetables and cut up fruit and rinds and parings and just things like that. You don't use animal products. Those are not healthy. Other than eggshells after you crack them open,
and wash them in hot water.
Right. Yeah, wash them in hot water, drop those in. But what we do is we actually put everything in a food processor, and we add a little bit of water, and we make this big, thick mess that looks like sort of a green mud when you're done putting all the vegetables in it and everything. And I just pour that right into my compost pile.
Brooks, I was just wondering, the compost bins that you see at like Home Depot, what do you think about those?
You're talking about the spinning, the ones like a round barrel that spin?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Very highly rated, usually expensive, and we had horrible luck with them.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we had one of those, and what happened was it's out in the sun all day, it's enclosed, and it just starts to turn into this really nasty, foul-smelling black goo, and then you can't get it out, and it was just horrible.
Well, that's good to know.
Go ahead. I was going to say, we have to take a commercial break. We've actually gone a little long because this is so interesting. I'm letting the show go long because I really feel like this is a critical show. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back with Brooks Kubik talking more about, I like to call it urban farming. We all have a responsibility. We really, really do. And I want everybody out there to start thinking about, I don't care if it's just one plant that you plant. Do it with your kids. Teach them. Start bestowing this information on them because it's going to be more important for them because there's not going to be any good food by the time they're your age. We all have a responsibility to start growing some of our own food. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Very important show. I hope everybody takes steps to start growing some of their own vegetables. And later in the show, Elise is going to be delivering information about growing herbs, which are equally important.
Brooks, I had a question for you about the compost bin.
Yes.
What would you tell someone that wants to create one from scratch?
You need to build, use wood, use untreated wood, probably 4 foot high, no more than 4 foot square. And you need, it needs to have air flowing through it. And so you don't want the sides, you want slots or slats. I like to make a frame out of wood, and I like to have chicken wire around it just to keep any critters out in case a critter says, that smells like a good dinner, I want to go investigate. There are different designs for them. You can look on the web. It depends where you live and whether you want to, make it a little bit more upscale so the neighbors don't feel squeamish about it. That's one of the issues you have to deal with. But they don't smell or stink or look bad or anything like that if you do them right.
My grandfather had one, and I don't remember him having it in a bin. I just remember him having a pile that he used to make me put everything into it. Can you just have a pile, or do you have to have the protection of the bin?
No, you can. I use a bin solely because I'm sensitive to the neighbors.
Oh, okay.
But a pile works just as well.
So in other words, you don't have to turn it or anything, right? You just let it pile up and rot away. That's it.
You let it pile up and rot. Most people will turn them, not very often. Every time you turn them, you lose some of the nutrition, some of the nitrogen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the nitrogen occurs through a chemical process that basically is fermentation.
Yeah, and when you turn, you lose some of that. So I like to keep the turning to a minimum, but some people have a regular schedule of when they turn them. It also depends on what you put in and what the proportions are of high nitrogen materials versus high carbon materials. It depends on what you're putting in. You just kind of play it by ear. If it looks like, if it's breaking down, then you're doing the right thing.
Okay.
I've done it both ways, and both ways work, turning and not turning.
What are some of the greatest rewards that you've received from this gardening effort? Obviously, it's not that big of a deal. You put a little effort in, and then the plants kind of take care of themselves. What are some of the greatest rewards that you've received?
One of the greatest rewards is that we now have granddaughters who go out and help in the garden.
Yeah.
In their little toddler way. And they go out there with me, and, we go to the spinach, and we pick spinach together, put it in a bowl, big bowl, go inside, wash it off, and then we eat it. And so they're understanding, just at age 3, that this is a garden, we grow food, it's good food, and we go in and we eat it, and it's very yummy. That's the word we use, yum. Spinach, yum.
Yum, y'all.
Yum, yum. I'm trying to do everything I can to make them think that vegetables are a lot of fun and taste good, and they don't have to go to, fill in the blank with any fast food place.
Just imagine when everyone else is panicked about the spinach that they bought at the grocery store because E. coli is all over it, and for a moment you go, oh, my God. And then you think, well, wait a minute. No, my spinach grows in the backyard. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and quite frankly, that's another reason why we started gardening. We got tired of all the scares of bagged lettuce and spinach and everything, and we eat so much of that, we thought, well, we're playing Russian roulette unless we start doing something different.
Yeah, and you know what? This is the time has never been more important for people to start gardening on their own. I know I've said it so many times throughout the show, but I'm telling you that if you put a little bit of effort in and drop a few bucks on the table and get yourself a little garden going, regardless of what space confines you have available to you, it will reward you, especially when you are reading about people getting sick from eating this piece of produce and that piece of produce, or worrying about Monsanto poisoning us with their genetically modified produce. You don't have to worry about that, which leads me to my next question and my last question with you, Brooks, because we're coming close to the end of the interview. Seeds. Do we just buy seeds every time we want to plant, or do some of these plants yield their own seeds and we should save them so we know where our seed sources are as well?
Most plants will yield their own seeds, and you can actually start saving them. I've not done that yet, but it's something that as I'm getting more into the gardening lifestyle, I want to start doing. You save them, you share them. One other thing I'll just mention quickly, heirloom seeds are the way to go.
Right, because they're not non-GMO, and that's my next question. Can you specify a non-genetically modified seed source?
Absolutely. You want organic seeds, you want non-GMO. Heirloom seeds are wonderful.
What does it mean? Heirloom just means it's not GMO, right?
No, it means that this is something that someone grew in a garden way back when, and it is not the standardized product that you see in the grocery stores.
Yeah, I like that.
For example, have you ever had one of those big, thick, luscious beefsteak tomatoes that taste so good you can't imagine it, and you're like, where did this come from? That's an heirloom seed tomato.
So now an heirloom seed tomato plant should mm-hmm. then yield a seed that is identical to the seed that grew it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. It is important to start getting your own seeds, too.
Absolutely.
And Brooks, I wanted to ask mm-hmm. you, do you filter your hose water? When you water your garden, do you filter the water?
What a good question. We have not. We probably are going to start doing it. What we're thinking about doing is collecting rainwater to use the rainwater. The plants love rainwater. They grow so much better with rainwater than with the tap water.
And that's kind of what I was talking about with Carl yesterday was rainwater. Yeah. But because I have a big, huge bucket that I like to collect the rainwater in and use mm-hmm. in the summertime. But mm-hmm. Carl was saying that the pollution in the air.
My only concern, I understand, rainwater is ideal.
Right.
But what about the fact that the rain, while it's traveling a mile from above us, is grabbing all this particulate matter that is released from fossil fuel being burned in cars to factories emitting fuel. And it's this droplet then becomes infused with all of this crud, and now we're putting it on our food. Am I being too anal about this?
Well, the alternative is to use water that has gone through that process, and then on top of it, it's gone through the municipal water system.
Yeah.
You know, rainwater is your best, cleanest source of water. And you're pointing out that in our toxic environment, it's not ideal. It's probably the best we have. And I guess, you know, you could collect rainwater and then you could filter it and then you could use it. But I will say that, you know, I have noticed that if I go out and I water, I get a certain amount of growth. But if it rains and the plants get the same amount of water, but it's rainwater, they grow better and faster.
Really?
Yeah, they like that rainwater, which is really interesting because it leads to all kinds of questions about, is the same true for human beings? If they're drinking water that has who knows what in it, you know, the municipal water supply, is that as good as we think, or, you know, would you be better off with rainwater?
Yeah.
Well, do you just have a barrel, or how do you collect your rainwater?
We actually have rain barrels. We're probably going to try switching to something as simple as, say, a kiddie pool.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's a great idea.
That's a very good idea.
Hey, Brooks, we've come to the end of your portion of the interview.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, no, of course. But I want you to go ahead and plug your websites, please, because the information that Brooks has bestowed should bring a lot of value to the listeners. And it's not self-serving that he's doing this. He's a true believer that we need to garden, as I am. And he wants everybody to be able to do it, so he's giving you a blueprint so you can start doing it yourself. How are the Legacy of Iron series of books going, Brooks?
They're going really well. People are really really enjoying them, really liking them. And, you know, just all the books, all the products, Gray Hair and Black Iron, written for older lifters. Chalk and Sweat, my new book, which has a lot of different training programs in it, 50 different training programs. Dinosaur Training, the original book, the one they call the Bible of Strength Training. Strength, Muscle, and Power, 30 chapters about all kinds of different ways to build strength, muscle, and power. And more books coming all the time. I've got something new and big in the works, and I'm going to unveil that fairly soon. We just have lots of stuff, and it's sort of the weight training, strength training equivalent of organic gardening. It's back to the basics, good, healthy stuff. It's at www.brookscubic.com. And, you know, it's good information. And, you know, I hope lots of listeners go there, sign up for the daily emails, get plugged in, because we're rocking and rolling.
A great way to thank Brooks for bestowing this information about gardening is to go to his website and buy one of his books. That's what I say. Brooks, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks very much. You too, take care.
Okay.
Thanks, bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have a report from Alisa.
She's going to tell us about herbs, some really exciting, I mean, some really novel stuff going to go on here in this next interview. You're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Take it back, take it back.
In an effort to help us spread information about the Superhuman Radio Show to friends and family, we have added the ability to email an episode to a friend or family member right on the episode page. If you're looking at an episode like yesterday's episode number 702, where kettlebell and discipline meet, right next to the date and day and time, you'll see a little icon of an envelope. If you click that, it will allow you to email that episode to a friend or family member that you think would benefit from that information. And I'm asking my listeners to take advantage of using this tool to help us spread the word about the show. So check that out. Okay. You know, we've talked about planting vegetables. Obviously, they have an important role in our dietary intake. There's something else that's important as well, and that are herbs. And Elisa is going to be reporting on all her research. This is something that she loves to do. You grow a lot of herbs, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And because herbs really add the variety to, you know, you could take a bland meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those of us who eat chicken every single day, once a day,
mm-hmm.
the herbs that you use change whether or not you're eating the same meal every day.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
But herbs also have other benefits as well, right?
Well, you can get medicinal benefits from herbs. And I think that from just growing it and drying it yourself, the flavor is so much more aromatic and intense as opposed to the herbs that you buy in the store.
Right, 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 absolutely. So now herbs are usually very easy to grow too, right?
Mm-hmm. Like basil, for example. Basil is one of my favorite herbs, and it's pretty much like a weed. You can't hardly kill it, and it's small, so you can grow it in an apartment. You can grow it on a deck. You can grow it just about anywhere, really.
And the nice thing about herbs is you don't harvest the whole plant. It's not like you're growing, waiting, and now here it is, and we harvest it, and we're done. You go and pick little bits of it off as you need to cook with it, right?
Exactly. Just kind of like what Brooks was talking about earlier on how you would go with the lettuce. You go clip it while it was still young. You do the same with the herbs. Like, for example, oregano, basil are both flowering herbs, and you would harvest the leaves before the flowers actually bloom because that's when the flavor is the most intense.
Mm-hmm. So once the flower blooms, the leaves start to lose the intensity of their flavor.
That's correct.
Now, do the flowers bloom one time and then stop, or do they bloom different periods of time?
Well, if you keep harvesting the leaves, then you can prevent the flowers from blooming.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Okay. So sweet basil is one that obviously, but now the basil comes in a couple of different varieties, right?
Right. You have sweet basil. There's Italian basil. There's lots of different kinds. And I like the sweet basil, obviously, and I like the Italian basil as well. Do you have a favorite?
I like the sweet basil because to me it has a taste like anise. The core of the taste of the drink that I love to drink that always makes me cry, which is Sambuca. So you're laughing because you know it's true.
Yes, it is true.
But anyway, yeah, I like the sweet basil better because it has almost an anisette type flavor to it.
Did you know that basil is a member of the mint family?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Now,
and that could be part of the reason why it grows like a weed, because the mint is like ground cover. If you put mint into the ground, it just takes over.
Right.
So if you're going to grow mint, you have to put it in a pot with holes in it and plant it in the pot to contain it, because otherwise it's just going to take over everything.
Now, you told a story about, was it your Aunt Noel's house where she would grow mint?
Yes.
How did she contain it?
Well, you have to realize now she lived in the country too.
Right.
So I'm kind of a country girl. But anyway, I can remember seeing her mint all along the driveway and cinder blocks.
Oh, so she would utilize the hole in the cinder block like its own little vessel, its own little pot.
Yes, and she would grow just all different types of mint, because there's lemon mint, there's lime mint, there's chocolate mint, peppermint mint, spearmint.
There's chocolate mint?
Yes, and then she would have little labels in each cinder block that had what type of mint it was. So I could just go, say if I was going to have iced tea, I could just go pull off the chocolate mint if I wanted to put that in my iced tea.
Did it really taste like chocolate?
Yes, and it smelled wonderful.
Oh, wow. Now, that's cool. I'd like to grow mm-hmm. some chocolate mint. I'm a big chocolate fan.
So am I. Yes. So, and you can grow mint if you live in an apartment or in a container on a deck if you want to. You don't have to have ground to do it in the ground.
Right.
But if you are going to plant it in the ground, then you want to put it in a pot that has holes in it to contain it when you plant it.
Right. Okay. Okay. Now, obviously, we talked about sweet basil and the different varieties of basil. We talked about mint. What are other choices that are good for those who want to grow herbs?
Well, one thing I did want to mention when we were talking to Brooks earlier, and he was talking about the different types of pots that you can plant things in.
Right.
If you get a clay or a terracotta plant, pot planter.
Right.
You can, if you plant it in that, it's better because it breathes easier.
Mm-hmm.
So
actually there is some passage of air through the wall of the vessel or the container.
It's more porous, right?
Right.
It's more porous. And so it's easy, it breathes easier.
So would you suggest those red planters that they sell at the hardware store generally. They're clay, right?
I like that look too because it kind of has that Tuscan look.
Yeah.
But you just have to remember if you're going to use that terracotta, it dries out faster, so you're going to have to water it more often.
Because the container is actually absorbing some of the water.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Now, there was something else that you told me about. How can you identify anything that's in the mint family?
Anything that's in the mint family has a square stem.
So anytime it has a square stem, it's part of that same family.
Yes, that's correct.
That's kind of cool.
And that's going to mean to you, what that will mean to you is that it's going to be fairly easy to grow.
Right. Anything with a square stem.
Because, like I just said earlier, the mint family, it grows just wild like weeds.
Do herbs require a lot of water, or does it vary by the herb?
I think it varies by the herb.
Does it? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You know what? We actually have to take a quick commercial break. Okay? We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all the different types of herbs that you could grow and what their benefits are. And some of the benefits are really bizarre. You're not going to want to miss this one, especially if you're somebody who is annoyed by mosquitoes and bugs and you don't want to use spray-on products like Off because of the DEET. Elisa's got a solution for you. You're going to love it. Your pets will love you, too. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don't blame on the moonlight. Don't blame on the good times. Blame on the boogie.
They'll be making sure.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com, the best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know what it is, when we do what we do. If good girls get down on the floor, tell me how low will a bad girl go? She probably
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This hour we're discussing the different types of herbs that you should focus on, that you can grow in your little home garden, that will provide you with not only great flavor enhancement to the meals that you cook, but benefits. Now, when we went into the break, I kind of teased everybody. I said, if you're one of those people like me that gnats and mosquitoes drive me crazy, but I don't want to spray my body with off. I don't want to absorb that DEET. And here you have two herbs that can help people like me.
Right. There's one that's called pennyroyal, and the other one is called tansy. Not like, not pansy, but tansy. T-A-N-S-Y. They are both amazingly effective insect repellents.
Now, okay, so how do I use this? Do I just plant them? Do I eat them?
What do I do? There's a couple different things you can do. The pennyroyal and the tansy both have pretty flowers on. The pennyroyal has a purple flower and the tansy has a yellow flower, so they look nice. So you can actually plant them in your yard to help repel insects in your backyard.
Right, okay.
Or wherever you want.
And you know what I just thought of, too? Brooks was talking about building a compost, and I happen to know that composts attract lots of bugs.
Uh-huh.
So you could plant pennyroyal and tansy around your compost to keep the bugs away.
That's correct.
So here we have nature correcting nature. This is really great.
Well, and another thing that you can do is if you have, I don't know, some kind of insects in your house, like ants or mosquitoes or flies or whatever, you can actually cut the pennyroyal and put it in a vase of water and leave it in the room, and it will repel inside the house as well.
Now, I have to ask you this question. Does it have a foul odor?
It has a pungent odor, yes.
Okay. But would you think that it would be something that would repel people as well?
I hope so. No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. But also you can buy the pennyroyal essential oil and put it in like a sprayer bottle and mix it with eucalyptus and lemon oil, because the pennyroyal is pungent. So you're going to use the eucalyptus and the lemon oil to use it to
offset.
Make it, exactly. Yeah. And then you can spray it on yourself.
As opposed to using off
or DEET and those things that have chemicals in them.
Now, could you take the pennyroyal or the tansy that you grow on your own? Let's say the pennyroyal, since we focused on that. Could you take the pennyroyal that you grow on your own and somehow reduce the oil yourself instead of going out and, I mean, how do you get, what do you do? Can you pulverize it or something?
You can pulverize it, like with a little mortar. Uh-huh. You can pulverize it, but you can actually purchase pennyroyal oil as well.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit easier. So that's really pretty interesting.
So basically, I'm just going to kind of tell the listeners how to do that. They mix it with distilled water. Going to use about 2 cups of distilled water and pour that in a sprayer bottle. And then you're going to put in 10 drops of pennyroyal oil and then also 2 to 4 drops of eucalyptus and lemongrass essential oils and mix all that together.
And use that instead of off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's worth listening to the show just for that, because you know what? I hate mosquitoes, and I happen to be one of those people that attracts mosquitoes. And I love smashing them when they're on me, sticking their little bill into my skin. And I hate to use that chemical stuff. I refuse to use it. So I suffer through the summers with tons of mosquito bites.
Right. And so when you think about it, like the citronella candles, you can just put a vase of pennyroyal on your outdoor table, or tansy on your outdoor table, and that's going to help repel the bugs while you're sitting outside.
I say plant pennyroyal and tansy everywhere. I think we need to do that, first of all.
And you can spray that on exposed skin,
but
pregnant women need to stay away from it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then also, my aunt, who knows everything about herbs, when I was talking to her, she said that people actually use the pennyroyal and the tansy together as a flea repellent for dogs. So you can actually put it in their beds. You could, You could probably spray the solution on your dogs and keep fleas away from them.
Right.
So that's another use for
or
it.
Or you could take the leaves from the pennyroyal maybe and the tansy, put it in a little sachet and hang it from the dog's collar. Because that's what they have, flea collars. You know what I mean? They just all that flea collar does is just put a smell out. That's all it does.
That's true.
You know what I just thought of? I asked you if the pennyroyal would repel people, and you said, I hope so. There was something we forgot to talk about, basil in Italy.
Oh, the women in Italy, when they were ready for their suitor to come and visit, they would put their basil plant outside so that the suitor would see that they were ready and come for a visit.
And come make love. So interestingly enough, if the pennyroyal repels people, just offset it with a little sweet basil and you'll have hot-looking guys knocking on your door. There you go.
Well, but back to the pennyroyal. Also, like if you want to spray it on your children, if they're going to go out playing in the yard, it doesn't hurt if they ingest it because it's natural.
Right.
It doesn't smell that great. That's why you add the lemongrass oil and the eucalyptus, but it's all natural, so it won't hurt them either.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, let's talk about another exciting herb that I love, one that I use to sweeten my tea. And I spend a lot of money on it, and we all know what it is. What is it, Lisa?
It's stevia.
Stevia, taking the world by storm. The only natural sweetener that does not have any carbohydrate content and doesn't spike insulin. It's a great substitute for sugar, but it's expensive. And then when you buy it at the store, first of all, if you don't get stevia extract or pure stevia, it usually has maltodextrin or something else in it. You don't want that.
That's right.
So you can grow your own stevia?
Yes, I grew stevia in my herb garden last summer.
What did you think of it?
It was easy to grow. I mean, it basically just let it grow. I didn't give it much attention. I didn't fertilize it. I didn't do much with it, and it just grew like a weed.
Right. So you just watered it.
I just watered it.
Now, did you buy it as a plant or did you buy it as seeds?
Well, it's very difficult to grow from a seed. So I actually bought it as a plant,
okay.
In a small plant, and it was not difficult to find. So
now, how did you use that? How do you render it so that you can use it with your foods and stuff?
Well, there's a couple different things that you can do with it, but you have to dry it out first of all.
Okay.
So you can dry it out in the sun. You will place it on a net or a screen and let it dry in the sun. Most herbs you don't want to dry in the sun because if you dry them in the sun, they're not going to be as flavorful.
Okay.
But with the stevia, you're going to dry it in the sun.
Okay.
Okay, and let it sit for about 12 hours.
Okay.
Or you could put it in your oven and just like let it sit overnight with the light on and not the heat on.
Oh, wow.
And that will dry it out as well.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to do that for 12 hours and then you have the leaves and you need to crush the leaves. Okay. So you can do that in a blender or coffee grinder would probably be the best source to grind the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to make a mixture with the dried leaves and then put it in the refrigerator for 24 hours.
And what, when you say a mixture, you take the dry leaves and you add it to what?
Water.
Like, is there a ratio or you just got to kind of go from taste?
A cup of warm water to a fourth a cup of the stevia leaves.
Okay.
And then you put it in the refrigerator.
And you let it sit overnight?
Yep.
And then it's ready to use, that's it?
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you just take like a couple drops of it, just like you do with the stevia extract now?
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool.
And actually, my aunt who... the herb lady. Yeah. I call her the herb lady.
Aunt Noel.
She actually just grinds the leaves up and uses the leaves by themselves in her tea and things like that.
Wow.
But for the most part, if you just mix it with the water and you put it in the refrigerator and let it sit for 24 hours, the water is going to turn into stevia.
And then instead of going out and buying it at the store and the droppers, and it's so expensive when you go to Whole Foods, you could pay ridiculous amounts of money for stevia extract.
Well, and who knows what's in it? Who knows what chemicals you get in it as well?
Yeah, exactly. At least you know what's in yours if you came right from the plant. Now, do you have to harvest the whole plant? You just pick the leaves off and let it keep growing?
You pick the leaves off and just let it keep growing. Yeah,
that is so cool. We actually are back on another break here. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have some more exciting information about different herbs that you can grow on your own. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. I'm in the studio with my co-host today, and it's not even Friday.
Yippee.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Urban Farming Show. Everybody has a responsibility to start gardening. And you can start small with herbs. They're fantastic. They make food taste better. They have benefits like keeping bugs away. In fact, you probably can use pennyroyal and tansy in with your gardening to keep the bugs away from your tomato plants, for instance.
Yes, you can. And actually, speaking of tomatoes, I just wanted to mention, if you don't have anywhere to plant a tomato garden in your yard, then just do a cherry tomato on your deck or, in, you know, if you have a really sunny window. I used to grow cherry tomatoes in pots on my deck, and it's so nice to just go out and pick the cherry tomatoes, and my nieces and nephew used to just come and pick them and eat them right off the plant, and they're so good and sweet.
Yeah.
They're really good.
There's nothing like fresh vegetables and herbs from your own garden. It really is nothing like it, and until you try it, you really can't. It changes the way everything else tastes to you. So where are we going next, Elisa? What's another herb that is fun and easy to grow?
Cilantro.
Cilantro
is so good and fresh when you can make, with your homemade tomatoes, you can make fresh salsa with it. It's really good. Did you know that cilantro is part of the carrot family?
No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because it looks like the what do they call the part of the carrot that we throw away? The stalks or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like that, doesn't it?
It does. Okay, so did you know that cilantro and coriander come from the same plant?
No, not at all. I know what coriander is. That's it. They come from the same plant?
The cilantro is the leaves, uh-huh. and the coriander is the seeds.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, my God, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
So if you buy a cilantro plant, you're going to get cilantro and coriander in one.
Wow.
And for those of you who don't know what coriander is used for, it's used in curry, curry powder, pickles, sausages, soups, stews, ratatouille. They even actually flavor liquors with it. They flavor gin, vermouth.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Coriander sounds like it must have a really great flavor. I'll have to check that out. Okay, so because it obviously doesn't taste like the cilantro, right?
No, yeah. No. And the cilantro is so nice to if you want to do something with a Mexican kind of Spanish theme, uh-huh. that the cilantro is good to use in those types of dishes.
Another good choice. What's another good choice for growing herbs at home?
Do you mean what's another good type of herb? Oregano.
Ah, now we're talking. The Italian herb.
Yes.
Okay. And basil is as well, obviously. But oregano is really the one herb when people think about Italian food that is probably the most predominant flavor, isn't it?
You know, an interesting thing, though, when you buy oregano, if you just go buy the plant, the oregano plant, mm-hmm. The Italian oregano, or even the seeds as well, the Italian oregano is not as flavorful as the Greek. So if you're going to use it for cooking purposes, you want to get the Greek oregano.
Really?
There's different types. There's Greek, there's Mexican, there's a lot of different types, but you want to make sure and get the Greek oregano because it's more flavorful.
Interesting.
And then you don't want to confuse it with marjoram. And that's marjoram.
Okay, what is marjoram?
Well, it's a sweet marjoram. It's an herb that looks very similar to oregano and is sometimes confused for oregano, but it doesn't taste as good.
Okay. So you're saying that the Greek oregano is better than the Italian oregano?
For cooking purposes, mm-hmm.
But what else would you use it for if you weren't cooking with oregano?
Well, it has, it does have some pretty flowers on it that grow.
Oregano is also supposed to have some medicinal benefits. It's supposed to be an antifungal. Oregano is supposed to have antifungal benefits for people who have funguses or are worried about funguses. You're supposed to use oregano in your diet.
So how would that work?
I don't know. I just remember reading that oregano oil is an antifungal. So I'm not sure how it would work, but I guess maybe you would put it on the fungus if you have a fungus on your skin or something like that. You know, people get funguses on their skin that eat away the melanin and give them blotches, so maybe they use oregano oil for that.
The marjoram is used in the essential oil is used in camphor.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I know what camphor smells like. It's got a very strong smell. I mean, they use camphor in mothballs.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. That's the smell mothballs have. It's camphor. Interesting. All right, so we have oregano. The Greek oregano is a better choice than the Italian oregano if you're cooking with it because it has a stronger smell. And don't confuse it with marjoram.
Right. How about aloe vera? Have you ever grown aloe vera?
No, but I've heard that it's got so many benefits for skin as well. Is it easy to grow?
Mm-hmm. It's really easy to grow. And basically, if you, like, for example, I know everybody knows this, if you get a sunburn, you can just break that plant open and you have pure aloe vera gel right there, and you can just rub it on a burn or a bruise or a minor cut.
And can you eat aloe vera?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, just curious. So that's not really one of the edible choices here.
Obviously. No, but that has medicinal purposes.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So what other edible herbs can we talk about, Alisa?
How about chives?
Yes, they taste like onions. I like them.
You know, the ones that grow in the yard wild, though,
mm-hmm.
those are poisonous. You can't eat those.
Is that right?
That's correct.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. But cows eat them all the time, the stuff that grows wild, because one time I got a batch of milk, raw milk from my farmer, this is several years ago, and I told him, I said, my God, the milk tastes like onions. And he said, yeah, the cows got into a field with scallions, he said. He didn't call them chives, it's scallions.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess cows can eat different things than we can, obviously.
Oh, well, anyway, so you can get onion or garlic chives, both.
Really?
I like to take the onion chives and cut them into my cottage cheese in the summertime.
Mm.
It's really tasty.
Yeah, I like that.
And those grow really easily, and that's a perennial. So in case you don't know, perennial, annual, perennial grows back every year, annual does not.
So dead. What you grow 1 year and you got to replant
mm-hmm.
it.
And mm-hmm.
perennials keep growing back.
Right.
Oh, I like that. I'd rather those because you plant them once and you keep benefiting from them.
Right. So the onion are my favorite.
Yeah. What about things like thyme and rosemary? These are obviously popular flavors that people use for – are they easy to grow?
Rosemary. I actually have rosemary in my sunroom right now that I've had since last summer that I brought in the house after I had it outside. I just brought it in, and it's still great to cook with. I love rosemary. Actually, a little tip that you can do with the rosemary is if you're going to use the leaves, save the stalk, and you can use it as a kebab skewer.
Oh, wow.
And you can put your veggies on it to put it outside on the grill. Just mm-hmm.
And then they would infuse with the flavor of the rosemary.
That's correct.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
I like that a lot. What about thyme?
What thyme is it?
You're funny. No, the herb thyme, obviously. That's another popular herb. Is that an easy one to grow?
Mm-hmm. There's a mother of thyme. There's English thyme. There's French thyme. It's easy to grow. You can use it as ground cover. It has pretty little purple flowers on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, if you need to use it as ground cover, like, for example, between some rocks or something, you can stick that down, and it grows easily, and right. It's got the pretty little purple flowers that the bees love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for cooking also. But if you're going to use it for cooking, either get the English or the French.
Oh, really? Because mm-hmm. they have better flavors?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one that I'm really excited about right before we go into the break, because you talk about how thyme attracts bees, this one attracts butterflies. We all love butterflies. We never see enough of them. And what
right.
is it?
It's called dill.
Okay.
I don't particularly like dill, but dill is good. If you're going to put it on salmon, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very strong flavor, and it takes takes an acquired taste, I think. But dill attracts butterflies, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder why. You think it's the smell? Can butterflies smell it? I wonder if that's why.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then actually, after the blooms have faded on the dill plant, you can use the heads of the seed to season pickles with.
Yeah, right. And that's that ball of dill that whenever you look in a jar of dill pickles,
mm-hmm.
you'll see like it almost looks like a little brown BB at the bottom. All those little dill seeds. That's something. Wow, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool. So you can grow the dill just for the seeds if you want to.
Yes.
I wonder if those are the seeds that you replant with it as well. Is that if you want to grow dill the next year, you would just use those seeds. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Sounds like it. Okay. We have to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, now that we've discussed how to grow all of these great herbs, we're going to discuss what to do with them, drying and freezing and preparing them. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I already got that hot new thing. It's called
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The fourth most abundant
mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com. Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com today.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You want to be superhuman? You got to grow your own vegetables and herbs. I'm telling you. Can't depend on the food that we get at the grocery store much longer. Even, I mean, look, even Whole Foods. I mean, what did you discuss on Casual Friday one day? That 75% of the food there that's marked organic really isn't?
Approximately two-thirds of the food there.
I mean, it's shocking. So you really don't know, even with these organizations that claim to be going the extra distance to make sure that people have access to really healthy stuff, you find out that they really don't. As a matter of fact, I was shopping the other day and thought about what you said. I was shopping in one of the Kroger stores, and I went over to the organic area and was going to buy red peppers. And I looked at the red peppers, and while they had a sticker on them from the grower that said organic, they didn't have the USDA organic sticker on them. And I thought, there's a good chance that these are really not organic. I figured, why should I pay a dollar a pepper more and end up buying something that's conventionally grown?
Right. And also, too, I had a friend call me, ask me about what kind of oatmeal to buy, because, you know, Quaker Oats is one of the biggest suppliers of genetically modified foods. And so you never know. You'd think Quaker Oats oatmeal would be a good thing, but
right.
It's really
you don't
not.
Know. You don't know. You don't know.
So on that note, farmers markets are good places to get your seeds from people that are set up at farmers markets, or even the plants that are started, like your starts for your tomato plants or your basil, rosemary. I mean, the farmers markets that I go to, they have starts for just about anything you want.
That's cool. So and
then
makes
you can get the
sense.
Seeds too.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense to get them from the farmers market, because these are the people you're buying a lot of this produce from as well. So you're getting the same sources that they're selling you, really.
Right.
Okay, so that's a good choice for your starts and your seeds.
And you can trust that it's probably organic.
Right, okay.
But I also wanted to mention, we were talking earlier about the tansy and the pennyroyal for flea repellent. I just wanted to mention catnip, because my mother used to grow catnip all the time. And her cats, they really liked it.
So what happens when a cat, did the cat have to eat catnip or just smell it?
I think they have to eat it. They smell it, because, you know, they used to make those catnip little balls.
Right.
And it kind of makes them drunk.
Yeah, it makes them act silly, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So if you have cats, like PJ Braun, you should be growing catnip for your cat. There you go. And cats like it.
And then another one that's not an edible herb, but lavender. I love to grow lavender, and it smells so nice, and it gets these purple flowers on it that are just really aromatic, and it's easy to grow in a pot.
Yeah.
And it just I like it because of the smell, because it relaxes you. It's, you know, if you put it in your bedroom, it kind of has that relaxing effect, and that's why they take baths and things that are lavender.
Add lavender to bath salts and stuff like that, because it's supposed to be relaxing. That's a great idea. Grow lavender as well. Okay, all right, that's a good. Now we've grown all these herbs. Obviously they all take some form of preparation. What about drying them?
Well, when you harvest, you have to harvest the leaves first. Like I said earlier, you want to harvest them just when the flowers are about to open. That's when they're in the bursting bud stage.
Okay.
Because that's when it's the most flavorful.
Okay.
So you want to do it in the morning after the dew has evaporated.
Okay.
So that minimizes the wilting.
Now, if you don't have any dew to deal with because of the climate, you don't have to worry about that.
That's correct.
Okay.
But here, we do here.
Right.
Okay. So you shouldn't leave them unattended in the sun either, because that's going to dry them out. You want to start your process. Just don't, you know, take them once you take them straight in and rinse them.
Right.
And then you're going to gently shake them to get the water off, the excess water, because you don't want any bruising either.
Okay.
Okay. So then you're going to discard all the bruised and soiled leaves.
Okay.
So you can do a couple things for drying. You can use a dehydrator if you have a dehydrator.
Okay.
I told you about the stevia. You could put that on a screen and let it sit.
Right.
So if you have a dehydrator, you're going to set it to about 95 to 115 degrees.
Okay.
Just going to leave it in for 1 to 4 hours, checking it periodically. And the herbs should crumble when they're dry.
Okay.
So the stems are going to break easily, and they're going to crumble easily.
Okay. What about what about actually hanging herbs? Don't they hang them upside down sometimes, too?
I can remember my mother used to always have herbs hanging around the house. My grandfather did. There's a couple different ways that you can do that.
But why? Well, first of all, why would you want to do you hang the whole plant? Do you pull it out root and all and just hang it upside down?
No, you would use the stem.
Cut the stems,
and
then you hang them upside. Why do you hang them upside down? Is that so that the flavor that's still in the stems drains into the leaves?
I don't think so. I just think it's easier to do it that way.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is, isn't it? Okay.
Okay. So you have different types of herbs. Some are tender. Some are less tender, the more sturdy. So the herbs such as rosemary, sage, thyme, parsley, those are all less tender.
Okay.
They're sturdy. So you can dry them without a dehydrator.
Just leave them out.
Yeah, you just tie. That's with the ones that you would tie in small bunches, and you'd hang them upside down and let them air dry. But one thing you might want to do is put them in a brown paper bag.
Why?
A couple different reasons. One is to keep them from getting dirty. If they're the type of herbs that you're going to eat.
Right, because dust is in the air. Right. Okay.
Right. So if they're the ones that you're going to eat. Also, what you need to do to keep air circulating, you're going to have to poke some holes in it.
Okay.
Okay, and then that's kind of twofold. The leaves, if any leaves drop, the bag is going to catch them.
Instead of them hitting the floor.
Right, and if any seeds drop, the bag will catch it.
Ah, great. Okay, that's a great idea. Okay, so those are those are the less tender or more sturdy herbs, the tender herbs.
And make sure you're drying your herbs indoors and not outdoors.
Why?
Also.
Why?
For flavor retention and better color.
Okay.
Because the sun is going to dry them out. And
there's higher convection taking place. There's more air passing through that area. So like my grandfather used to dry his herbs in a cold cellar. Upside down. I remember this in we called it a cold cellar, but the cellar below the house, which was just musty and damp. He used to dry his herbs down there. He also store his cheeses down there that he would age. So I guess it's important that there not be a lot of high airflow going on when you're drying your herbs. Put them in a room maybe that you don't go into very often that's dark.
My mother used to dry them in the attic.
Oh, that's even perfect. Mm-hmm. That's even better. And mm-hmm. nobody goes up there except to get the herbs.
Well, my aunt dried hers in the barn.
Okay, another source of controlled environment, so to speak. Okay. Now, what about the tender or less sturdy herbs? Those are the ones that you have to use a dehydrator for?
No, you can do these the same way, but they need to dry out a little more quickly because they'll mold if they don't dry quickly.
Ah, so how do you make them dry quickly?
Well, in the brown paper bag with tender leaf herbs.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And now, what about something that I know that you do with your basil? You grind it up and make ice cubes out of it, right?
You put it in, make a puree out of it. Mm-hmm. So you just take your basil, make a puree out of it, and then you pour it into the cheap little ice cube trays.
Right.
And you freeze them. Then you take them out of the trays.
In order to make a puree out of them, you actually add a little bit of water to the leaves and grind them all up.
Mm-hmm.
And then pour them into these ice cube trays.
Then you freeze them.
Uh-huh.
And just once they're frozen, put them into plastic bags and seal it up.
So they don't get freezer smell.
Right. And then if you say, for example, if you're going to make some sauce and you need the puree basil and it's going to taste really fresh in the wintertime, then you just drop it in there.
Let them melt.
Yes.
Wow. You could probably do that with mint for mint juleps, too, because that's coming here for Derby. We should make mint-flavored ice cubes for mint juleps. What do you think about that? No?
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, there you go. I'm trying to think what else we can use. I'm really getting creative. I'm really looking forward to growing and harvesting things this year. I'm excited about this. I want to grow my own vegetables. I want to grow my own herbs. So there you go.
And a lot of them you can just wash them, drain them, and then pat them dry gently because you don't want to bruise them with paper towels and put them in freezer bags and just freeze them.
Interesting. Yeah, because not all herbs have to be dried.
Right.
Like basil, you want it to be leafy and soft, right?
And oregano.
Oregano as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But for the ones that you don't, you can just freeze them.
Right. And then use them when you want.
Yeah.
How long have you been gardening now, Elisa?
In some form and fashion for a while. Yeah. I mean, even when I was a child, I used to help my mother in the garden and my grandfather.
And you did, and your grandfather had a farm.
My grandfather had a farm. My mother had a farm.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And so in some form or fashion, I can remember as a child getting a bowl and going out and just picking fresh raspberries for breakfast in the morning. And my great-grandmother actually would put cream on it for me.
Right.
Oh, that sounds so yummy.
I wonder if that was raw unpasteurized cream back then. Did they have their own cows?
No.
Oh, okay. Then it probably wasn't. Okay. Anyway, we've really come to the end of this show, and I hope that everybody has gotten something out of it that inspires you to grow something. I don't care what it is, but promise me, please, please, grow something this year. I don't care if it's one sweet basil plant or a cherry tomato plant, or if you go the whole route and get the wood and make the dirt and put a 4x4 box garden in your backyard and grow some spinach and maybe some zucchini and some tomatoes and whatever. Just grow and start getting into the habit of growing your own vegetables and herbs because, like I said at the beginning of the show, you should start gardening like your life depends on it because it just may. I can honestly say that the scary thought that our food supply is so destroyed and tainted that there may be a point in the future where having access to healthy, unmutilated foods, unmutilated by genetic modifications and so on and so forth, could actually be the difference between staying healthy or getting disease. Think about that. Did you know that, what's the guy from Microsoft? Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
He has a time capsule in Antarctica. And he put a bunch of things in there. And do you know some of the things he put in there were heirloom seeds?
Really?
Now think about that for a second. I thought about what a great plot for a movie. It's the year, 3006. And all vegetation on Earth has been destroyed because of genetic modifications. We can't eat anything anymore. And there's a race to get to Antarctica to find that time capsule to find the only heirloom seeds left in the world to start growing produce again and feed the world. And there's like, and different countries are going at it. They're trying to get there first, and it's a whole war breaking out because they're trying to get their hand. Whoever gets the hands on those heirloom seeds will control the world because they'll control the only source of untainted food supply. And think about that.
Interesting.
I know. But anyway.
Carlos Cardenas sent me a message saying that he has an organic farm in his backyard.
Well, and also should be said that Carlos Cardenas' family, they are farmers. I mean, they grow some of the greatest avocados, some of the greatest blood oranges I've ever tasted.
Those blood oranges were yummy.
Oh, my God. So they, you know what? We should have Carlos on the show sometime to teach us about how to grow these things as well. So we have a lot of people in our audience that already have this information. We need more people to start growing your own gardens. How does that sound, Elisa?
Sounds good to me.
Well, that's the end of Superhuman Radio today, and we will have another episode for you tomorrow, so tune in then.
Bye.